This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Really?
Probably like in a valley somewhere.
Not like fair to Midland at least?
No. This may be the worst I've ever been.
I do apologize. We had some callers on hold and we apparently had some sort of a phone discrepancy. We believe it to be resolved now. So 603-283-6160 if you want to join us tonight. In the studio, it's myself, the Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass. Joining me,
it's Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
We were talking about all sorts of fun stuff, robot lawyers, and how is that going to play out? Apparently, there's one going to take on a speeding ticket case. The folks over at Do Not Pay, is the name of their company, invented a chatbot to give people legal advice, and apparently they're putting that to work in an actual live case. So if you want to comment on that or anything else, it's fine. You can bring up whatever you want. It's Free Talk Live for a reason. Where did the rest of my show prep go?
Into the abyss.
Well, it probably did.
Open up a new tab.
Well, that's the problem is I have too many open, of course. Not only do I have multiple windows, but multiple windows with way too many tabs in each window. But that's how we roll around here. Before we go on, let's just go to your calls and thoughts. Unknown caller, what's your name, please?
My name's Robert.
Hey, Robert. South Carolina, right?
Yes, sir.
What is on your mind? You're live on the radio right now.
Okay, I just wanted to say that, you know, I've done technical translations, German to English, as well as Spanish, German, and Russian, and I just wanted to let you know that it's very, very complex, even for a computer to be able to act properly, and they can't. Somebody handed me, at a German club meeting, somebody handed me a translation to translate, to read something in German in front of a group. I could tell immediately that it came, that it was machine translated, English to German. So fast, I mean, the endings weren't even right, much less the translation of the vocabulary.
How long ago was this?
This was, 29 days ago.
Okay.
Well, so you know what's going to happen in the future when the AI takes over. That's going to be the correct translation, and you're just going to have to learn to speak it instead.
That would be a mess, because you know how it translated the word uniform from English to German as Tuch. Tuch means cloth. It's not. I checked the dictionary to see if it could possibly be used for uniform.
Isn't that one of the things in the Bob and Doug McKenzie 12 Days of Christmas? A toque? Five golden toques.
Tuch means cloth.
Yeah.
And then so I checked the Lagenscheidt's German to English, English to German translation dictionary, and going from the English word cloth, I mean, it's not in there.
Hang on, Robert. I think the lyrics were five golden toques, four golden toques, three French toast, two turtlenecks, and a beer in a tree.
Got it.
The Bob and Doug McKenzie, 12 Days of Christmas. Anyway, go ahead, Robert.
Okay, that
carry on with the shows
you, yeah, I'm glad we got that cleared up.
Okay, that just shows you how wrong it can be, just what you just said. You see what I mean? I mean, it makes no... A tuch is not even in the dictionary for the going from English word uniform. In German, it's uniform.
So the algorithm needs to be tweaked, is what you're saying, right? Like it's, there's some problems with it. We're early on in the technology,
yeah,
and they will work this stuff out.
Like I experienced something similar to what Robert is talking about the first time I ever used text to speech.
Okay. Yep.
Right? And it takes a little while for the algorithm to kick in to learn all the different pronunciations of certain words. And so it would commonly, you know, mispronounce something or use the wrong there, or there, cool. stuff like that, like humans do.
Yeah, they wanted German, paper. You see, the computer translated it on paper from English to German. And the word German, and the computer translated the word uniform to Tuch. And Tuch, T-U-C-H, doesn't even exist under the translation in the dictionary. It's not even in there. It's just uniform is in there. That's what they use.
Hmm. Right. So somewhere there's a paper dictionary that has the correct translation.
Yes.
Right. And yes. they could easily program that into the AI.
Yep.
Computer translation.
Another set of instructions.
Right. So I hear your concern. I don't think I'm overly concerned about it in the long run.
Right. Once somebody like you, Robert, identifies that that's a problem, as long as whoever's programming the AI or the algorithm is notified that it's a problem, they can correct the problem, and the next time that thing comes up, it's no longer a problem.
It'll be uniform instead of Tuch.
Tuch can play at that game. Thanks for the call, Robert. We appreciate you. Let's move right along. Let's go to David in Georgia. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, good evening. The part you were looking for about the AI helping to lower your Comcast bill, the part you're looking for is retention.
Wrong!
Okay. Well,
wrong!
Isn't that what we've been told twice now?
Well, yeah, but the first time you were told the captain, you said it was wrong.
Yes, that is what the department is called commonly, but I'm thinking in Comcast that it was called something different.
Different companies have different names for it.
I could be wrong, but
no, you're probably right. We had a producer check in and say it was the retention department.
Yeah, so now we have two different sources saying the same thing. I'm inclined to believe the two separate sources that yes, indeed, retention is the department.
So I was just giving you a little bit of grief, caller, because the captain's original refusal to accept that answer.
Yeah, I'm stubborn.
Now, my question for you guys is: what do you think about like the decentralized finance platforms like Polygon and like Aave, where you can borrow money from a smart contract? And right now, you can only do over collateralized loans. Like if I wanted to borrow $200 to pay my life insurance bill once a year, I could borrow that $200 as long as I had like $400 worth of whatever locked up. Like
or $600, depending on which platform.
Yeah, and I'd have like that much locked up, and then I could borrow that money, and I could pay it back in, say, 3 months. So instead of paying $200 all at once, I'm only paying $75 a month or whatever.
Right.
When it comes to the crypto sphere, I'm wait and see on anything like that. Right. Demonstrate it to me.
Yeah, so my thought is that don't do anything like that unless you already are holding enough crypto to pay the entire thing back immediately. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I say that because what we've seen with some of these platforms is they don't last. And so let's say you took out one of these loans on a platform that's now closed the wallets or to all of its customers that's otherwise gone to you, you would be out not only the cryptocurrency, but you would still be on the hook legally to repay the rest of the loan, even though it would be impossible for you to get your crypto back. So what you want to be is in a position, this is just my opinion, it's not legal advice or financial advice, what you want to be is in a position where if you're taking out a $200 loan and you're pledging, let's just say, $600 worth of cryptocurrency, you want to have at least $600 in more in cryptocurrency than you've pledged, plus whatever the interest fees are to satisfy the entire debt on hand and just awaiting the ability to pay off that loan in full. You also want to be sure as you take out that loan that there isn't some sort of restrictive clause that doesn't allow you to pay off in advance without penalty, because now you're talking about real risk. These platforms are still in their infancy. They haven't figured out how to play nicely with governments because governments just don't play nice. And until either they all become DAOs or there's some other consideration in between with the banking, financial industry, and the governments, the risk is still all on the person borrowing.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one I'm thinking of is called Aave, and it's actually a DApp on the Polygon and Ethereum blockchains.
Okay.
So it is it is a D app. I'm not sure. I'm new to this space myself, so I'm still learning the difference between like dApps and DAOs and different things like that. So I'm still new to this. But you brought up something about your car earlier, and it would be interesting because what if you could buy your car from this DAO or dApp or whatever, and it was an NFT on like the blockchain, like the Ethereum Polygon blockchain sidechain, and it would open for you because you had the wallet with the right NFT in it, and then you could pay it off, and you could send it to somebody else if you sold the car to them, and they could send you money, like just like what you were talking about. But it would be all on chain, so the car would be sold for crypto on chain, and it would work on chain.
Right.
I'm skeptical of bad ideas pitched as good ideas because they end up on the blockchain.
I don't necessarily think this is a bad idea, though, because I think it's I personally think it's a great idea because it would be a good way to get rid of banks.
Okay.
Typically, if you were to do this, if you're taking out a loan for a car, you're going to do that through banks.
Okay.
Right.
I hear you, but you don't need a platform to borrow Bitcoin from somebody. Just go, hey,
you just need some sort of
some Bitcoin
contract or verbal contract, written contract, whatever.
I also like my manual key for my car.
Me too. And I'm a very, I don't want to say like simple person, but I like cars with manual transmissions. I don't like all sorts of computers and self-driving devices in my car. I like my vehicles to be straightforward and simple. I want to be able to fix it, so yeah, I don't.
So now you got to have this wallet attached to something in your car.
Well, you don't necessarily need that.
It doesn't have to be.
Well, if it's not going to open for anybody else.
Well, we don't really need that part.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't necessarily like that part.
Good. Then problem solved, right?
Yeah.
I hand you money, you hand me a receipt and the key.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And if you ever bring it to dispute, I go, oh, no, look, I've got the receipt right here that we both have signed. Right. And you put that in the safe somewhere for a dispute, and you ought not worry.
Yeah, just like you would, the title or whatever else.
Right. A bill of sale, if you will.
Go ahead, caller.
With these platforms, supposedly the way I understand this is that instead of being a peer-to-peer lending, it's peer-to-contract-to-peer. Because say I want to borrow 2 Bitcoin, and no one wants to lend me 2 Bitcoin right now, but somebody has, the contract has 2 Bitcoin locked up in, from some other people that put money down 2 years ago or whatever, then I can borrow that 2 Bitcoin from the contract and pay it back.
Well, that's,
so instead of being peer to peer and having to find somebody else to actually.
Yeah, you're getting into territory where some of these platforms have gotten into trouble doing what terrestrial banks do, right? Fractional reserve lending.
Right.
Right. One of these platforms will have, 100 Bitcoin under contract, right? And so they'll go, oh, well, we can lend out 2 Bitcoin to this guy. And then, something goes awry, and all of a sudden they don't have that Bitcoin. So it's interesting. The dynamic is very similar to what used to be the regular banking industry before the Federal Reserve was created. And that's where banks would be very careful and cautious about loaning anything, and they would never loan. It would be the opposite of that, right? They would only loan out what they had in excess, right, instead of loaning out what they had in reserve.
Well, I'm also skeptical of the DAO itself, right? Because remember the first time that the DAO was written several years ago?
Yeah.
And some dude took advantage of it on contract by the rules.
Right, yeah.
And they went, oh, no, you can't do that. And they rolled back the entire DAO.
Right, yeah.
Right, went, nope, not allowed, even though it was perfectly allowed by contract, by their system.
So I want to back up just a little bit because, caller, I'm sorry, what's your name?
David Georgia.
Thank you. David, for our listeners out there, the benefit of doing one of these crypto-backed loans is that you're actually getting USD, that's physical United States dollars, and you're posting as collateral your cryptocurrency. And what that does is it creates a loan. And the benefit to that is you don't have to pay capital gains tax on a loan. That's the benefit of doing this type of transaction. The portions of cryptocurrency currently that are We'll call them gray area or destructive or otherwise sticky wickets, places that I don't want to tread very often if I don't have to, is both the on-ramp and the off-ramp to fiat currency. That's government currencies. That's where the danger lies. If I'm doing my transactions completely in the realm of cryptocurrency, I'm basically fearless, right? Basically, right?
Okay.
Now, you want to be on top. You want to have sharp attention to detail. You want to have things reviewed by people. If you're participating in anything like a smart contract, right, you want to make sure that you are on top of it, not only as a technician, but also as somebody who understands the inner workings of cryptocurrency.
You take out a 2-Bitcoin loan, and not value for a dollar, because we're getting rid of the dollars, but the purchasing power of Bitcoin skyrockets overnight, and you still have to pay back 2 Bitcoin.
Right.
It's going to it's going to take you that much longer to accumulate that.
It's still a risk.
Right.
Right. But yeah.
but
I'm saying
significantly
is
more risky than standard loans.
Sure. But I guess I'm not explaining myself correctly in that, like, the risk I'm trying to avoid, of course, is government. Right. Like, if I make a mistake in the financial world. Okay, great. I'm a human. I made a mistake. I'm able to actually say, oh, you know what? I didn't read that properly, or I didn't get the right advice when entering into this contract, or, you know, something like that. I only have myself to blame. It's the place where most people are going to get in trouble, particularly with governments, and I'm not just talking about the United States, I'm talking about governments all over the world, is the on-ramp and the off-ramp between the government currencies. When you try to transduce cryptocurrency into government currency, that's where all of these weird things begin to occur. That's where all the risk is. That's where, you know, governments haven't really defined what cryptocurrency is or isn't. And if they have, they contradict each other frequently. So that's where the real risk is. So that's why I say, if you're going to participate in one of these loans like David is describing, where you have crypto, and you're basically giving that to some other company in exchange for a loan of USD, please have enough crypto available to pay that off immediately. Otherwise, you're probably going to get effed, in my opinion. It's just my opinion.
It also seems weird to take out a loan if you have enough to pay it all back already. Just spend your money.
If you don't have USD, it's not very weird at all if you need USD to buy something.
Okay.
Right? And that's
well,
where,
but if you have the crypto, right, rather than loaning your crypto to somebody in exchange for USD, just sell it to them, and then you have the transaction is complete.
But then you're not. But then you're on the hook for capital gains.
All right.
So that's why the loan is important. If you think about these platform loans, the easiest way, and I know I might be using some verbiage that confuses some of our listeners, think of it as a pawn shop. Most people are familiar with a pawn shop. I, as a guitar player, right, if I ever found myself short on cash to pay my rent at the end of the month, I could take one of my expensive guitars over to the pawn shop, post my guitar as collateral. They would loan me roughly 1/4 of its value. In money, and then I would have to not only pay that loan back, but plus interest. Mm-hmm. And if at the end of that term, it's usually 30, 60, 90 days, I'm not able to pay it back, I can just pay the interest and renew the loan again for another period. That's exactly how these fiat lending, or these crypto lending companies, crypto to fiat lending companies work. They're basically a pawn shop for cryptocurrency.
And my concern about the value and fluctuation of cryptocurrency as it relates to the loan value.
Yeah, it still applies.
Okay.
Yeah. David?
No, that's all I had for you guys tonight.
Hey, thanks for the call. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160. I hope I'm not confusing people too much, right? I've participated in one of these where I pledged some crypto. I was able to get some USD on a loan, negating any capital gains type of things, and then I made one payment, and then after that one payment was done, I went ahead and paid the whole thing off.
Okay.
Right? So they got their origination fee, right, which is, you know, money in their pocket. Whoever the loan guy was, you know, he probably made that as commission. They got their one payment from me of interest, so they made some money off of me, and then I was able to pay off the loan like immediately, and there was no penalties. It was all written into the contract and all that kind of stuff, and then I got my cryptocurrency back. But it was a 2-to-1, right? So if I'm borrowing $100, I had to pledge $300.
Okay.
To make it go, $300 worth of cryptocurrency to make the loan go.
And all the fees associated with that was more than you were more than willing to pay to offset whatever capital gains you would have gotten by selling $100 worth of Bitcoin.
Well, so I'm just using these small amounts to illustrate what it is, so
whatever
it's easier
is
to understand. I would much rather pay a private entity a fee for a service than I would pay a government tax.
At what ratio?
Well, it just so happened that it was to my benefit that the fees charged by the lender were less than the whatever the capital gains tax might have been in that transaction. But even having said that, based on my feelings about what government is, I would still probably, even if it was more than what the capital gains tax might have been, I might be willing to pay that to a private entity because, well, I just don't like government.
Well, and that's
I don't
the thing,
like government
sometimes,
either, but I'll still self-maximize.
Well, yeah, and but sometimes it's not about money, and sometimes, you know, it's about morals.
Principle.
Yeah, principle and morals, and it's like, well, do I want to give the government more money to go bomb people overseas and jail people?
Or would I rather help a startup company in this, you know, brand new space called DeFi, you know, get off the ground and, you know, help them do some business?
I want the most money in my pocket.
Yeah.
Whoever's going to get it, they'll charge less and you'll get it.
It all made sense to me when I had a use case, right?
Okay.
When I didn't have a use case, I was just like, I don't understand. Like, I didn't understand stable coins when they first came out. I was like, why would anybody need a coin that represents the U.S. dollar? It didn't make any sense to me until I got a wallet that not only hosted cryptocurrency, but also hosted stable coins. And what I was able to do is whenever a cryptocurrency hit a price, I could move it into stable coins. So now that's at the dollar figure that it was.
Right.
And then when that cryptocurrency dropped, I could then take that dollar figure and reinvest it.
I see it useful as a tool, but in light of the FTX fiasco recently,
Right.
Along with the fact that, you know, the stable coin Tether didn't have the dollars in reserve that they claimed to have to back the Tether.
The irony is not lost on me in that this sort of loan that I participated in that I described here tonight, I got out of like 2 weeks before the FTX thing happened.
Yeah, it could have easily been like you put up 2 Bitcoin as collateral and then, okay, we don't have your Bitcoin anymore.
Right.
But, you know, congratulations, you just sold us 2 Bitcoin for a $100 loan.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it's still huge risk.
Yeah.
But if you have a need, you know, look into it and then decide for yourself if it's something you want to participate in. And the reason that I recommend having, you know, not overextending yourself and having enough to pay it off immediately is exactly for that reason. Because if you feel like something's rotten in Denmark or things aren't going to go your way, you want to be able to get your crypto back ASAP.
Maybe, if you're lucky. Because with FTX, people did, and they didn't.
603-283-6160. Coming up, we're going to talk about facial recognition and how authorities are using it, even without permission. This is Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. More coming up.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News update, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas says he's excited for President Biden to see the work of the Customs and Border Protection Agency at the southern border.
We are going to be opening up a new soft-sided facility that will be able to process up to 1,000 migrants a day.
speaking with reporters aboard Air Force One today while he and the president were en route to the southern border, explained that the administration's new immigrants policies were meant to incentivize migrants to head to official ports of entry to seek asylum, rather than give free rein of their money and lives to smugglers. Hundreds of supporters of the former president of Brazil have stormed the National Congress building. They are refusing to accept the latest election results in support of the leftist opposition leader who won in the last election. Dave Collins, USA News.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Going to get to your calls and thoughts momentarily. It is Free Talk Live, the Sunday night edition. The telephone number here in the studio is 603-283-6160. Before we go on, though, I want to remind everybody that you can join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 15th through the 18th for the 7th annual Fork Fest at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. Fork Fest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which sold out in 2022. For 2023, we're going back to where it all started, the weekend before Pork Fest. So Fork Fest is decentralized, and that means there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. All you have to do to join the fun is reserve your campsite, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 15th through the 18th. You can find out more at the unofficial website forkfest.party. You can connect with other attendees on the ForkFest Telegram and Matrix chat rooms, as well as the ForkFest forum. Again, links to all of that can be found at ForkFest.party. We hope to see you there, ForkFest.party. All right. I want to get to this facial recognition stuff, but here at Free Talk Live, the calls come first. Let's go to Scott in Michigan. Scott, you are on Free Talk Live.
Hi, good evening.
Hey, what's on your mind?
So my question is, or you guys have been chatting about crypto and whatnot, and my question is basically, I'm somewhat aware of crypto being decentralized and not, you know, takes away some of the control that government entities have.
not all crypto is decentralized. So just keep that in mind and go ahead with the question.
My question is like with the Canadian protests, I had heard or heard on the news or read about, like they had frozen people's bank accounts and crypto transfers. How, you know, my question is basically, how did they do that, or if you can explain that?
Yeah, I can take a stab at this one. What they did was they were able to track a wallet, one wallet, and they were able to find the provider of that wallet and ask that wallet provider to block any further transactions to that singular wallet address.
So be careful what you're using as a wallet provider, basically, correct? Sure.
So there are wallets out there that are non-custodial, and that means that you're in charge of them. There's wallets out there that are known as custodial, which means that when you use their wallet, you're actually giving your keys. You've probably heard us say... You've heard
not
us say,
your keys, not your coin.
That's right. Right.
Okay, cool.
So the non-custodial wallet is the better one, in my opinion, because you're not giving up your keys. A custodial wallet is where you're giving up your keys, and, in fact, the donation site, the one that they did shut down for the Canadians, was a custodial wallet. So they were able to just go to the provider and say, hey, flip a switch and turn this one wallet off. They were not, despite their claims... They were not able to block cryptocurrency transactions from happening. They were only able to turn off that one wallet. So they could have easily just set up a second wallet, redirected everybody to this other wallet, and Bob's your uncle. They were still getting funds.
And hopefully a non-custodial wallet the second time.
Right. Okay. Does that make sense?
Like, yes, it does. Okay. Thank you. So what are some examples, just for everybody that's listening, and I don't even know, but what are some examples of non-custodial versus custodial?
I like Edge Wallet, EDGE.
That's the one I use.
The one I use.
I also have used Coinomi, Coinomi. Those two. Depending on how much cryptocurrency you have and how secure you want to be, you might also look into what's called a hardware wallet.
Trezor Ledger.
Trezor Ledger is the most popular one. It's basically a USB stick. It's got some encryption on it. You have to set it up. Just the same way you set up any other wallet where you have a secure phrase that you're given. Yeah. And then you can actually keep your cryptocurrency offline completely.
Okay.
Yeah. Look into paper wallets, because that was a thing early on, too.
Yeah.
You just generate the key, the passphrase, and that's your wallet.
Yep.
Okay. What was the first one that you mentioned? Was it Edge?
Edge, yeah. Yep.
I like that one because it's user-friendly. Yes. You have it on your phone.
If you can understand your regular bank's app, you should be able to understand the Edge app pretty readily.
Yeah. It's easy to send money back and forth, and forth to people. You can even buy it on there, which I don't always recommend, but if you want to do that, it's an option.
They actually have an option within the wallet if you want to buy through the wallet, where you can buy from a mixture of anybody. Any of the exchanges that are available, or you can specify non-KYC only so that you know you're getting... Now, the fees are, of course, a little bit higher for something like that. Mm-hmm. But they have all sorts of fun features. I recommend them highly.
I don't know how that became to be the wallet that we use around here, but it just happens to work that way.
Yeah, I think they did some advertising on Free Talk upon a time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that would explain it. But it works. It's useful.
Well, I appreciate your info, and then I've got a second question because I'm listening on. Well, I listen when I'm driving on an AM 600.
Mm-hmm.
Out of where? And I also kind of pick up you guys sometimes when I'm sitting in my vehicle on YouTube, and both say that you're live, but they're not necessarily correlating, which kind of is closer to being live.
So
the AM station.
Yeah, we're live 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern time every day.
Okay.
And so some stations, though, will play either a partial broadcast or they will play a previous broadcast, depending. So some stations will play, like, part of the Sunday night broadcast midday on Monday, for example. Things like that happen occasionally on radio stations.
There's some internet delays when you go through sites like YouTube.
Right.
For example, we just rang in the New Year's last week. Right.
Yep.
And so for me, because I'm a gamer, right, I just turn on Animal Crossing, and I let Animal Crossing run the countdown. And when Animal Crossing said it was midnight, by Job, it's midnight. Off to the side, we had the ball dropping in New York on the Hulu app, right, and that should be like the official time. right? But that was like a minute delayed behind my, you know, my internet-connected device that gets the time from the internet,
right?
My, you know, Amazon microwave and all the other things that are connected devices. Said it was midnight, but the ball dropped like a minute later. So keep that in mind if you're trying to get, like, the live feed and you're switching from AM radio to YouTube. YouTube is likely going to be delayed by some period of time.
Yeah, we recommend watch.freetalklive.com. That'll take you to a page that displays our Odyssey stream, live stream. And so that's probably going to be, like, as far as video goes, it's probably going to be more accurate than the YouTube live stream, or at least more likely to be the live show between 7 and 10 p.m. If it's outside of 7 and 10 p.m. Eastern, then you're likely hearing a rebroadcast.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your information.
Hey, thanks for the call, Scott. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160 if you'd like to join in the conversation tonight. Any other comments, concerns?
Questions? Facial recognition?
All right, let's do it.
I know that guy.
Let's do it. So I actually have several articles about facial recognition.
Do the one with the robots.
Well, we're going to start with this from Reason. Why a facial recognition device barred this woman from a Rockettes show.
Oh, wow. Oh, and, you know, I did hear about this about,
Kelly Conlon's bizarre experience gives a glimpse into the future with omnipresent facial recognition systems. Last month, Kelly Conlon arrived with her daughters, Girl Scout troop to watch a Rockettes performance at Radio City Music Hall. Arguably, she was the chaperone. But she abruptly was denied entry. Why? Conlon works for a law firm the venue's parent company had blacklisted. While the policy is unusual, Conlon was found out for an even more surprising reason, the venue's use of facial recognition technology. Conlon's experience, while bizarre, gives a glimpse into the future with abundant facial recognition devices, one where our personal information can be accessed and used against us at a moment's notice. Just how Conlon ended up being turned away by security guards starts with a corporate grudge. According to NBC New York, Conlon is an attorney working for the New Jersey-based law firm Davis, Saperstein & Solomon, which is currently involved in a personal injury litigation against a restaurant owner owned by MSG Entertainment, the parent company that also owns Radio City Music Hall.
Well, all right.
So like 10 degrees or 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon here. A twist of this litigation is that the company decided that all attorneys working for law firms engaged in litigation against them are banned from entering events at our venues until that litigation has been resolved.
Seems reasonable, and if not reasonable, well within their right to do.
As Conlon describes, she was identified almost immediately by a facial recognition device. It was pretty simultaneous, I think, to me, going through the metal detector that I heard over an intercom or loudspeaker, Conlon told NBC New York. I heard them say, woman with long dark hair and a gray scarf. After being stopped by security, they demanded her name and ID and told her that facial recognition had picked her up. They knew my name before I told them. They knew the firm I was associated with before I told them, and they told me I was not allowed to be there, Conlon said.
So creepy.
Isn't it? Like, I mean, so you're a lady, you're chaperoning a Girl Scout troop, you've got tickets to the Rockettes show, right? And you show up with this, you know, group of girls, arguably, and you go in and they're like, yeah, the girls can come in, but you, no, not you, you can't come in.
And it's kind of embarrassing for her, too, plus if she's the only chaperone there, that kind of ruins the whole field trip for the Girl Scout troop.
Again, libertarians don't want to hear this, but this is an extension of the reputation rating system.
No, it's...
Right? She's banned, whether she knew it or not. They have a right to deny her entry.
Yep, it's within their rights. But it just... I'm just saying, like, as far on a human level, sucks.
It doesn't have to be the government that holds all this data.
Right.
But if it's all out there for everyone to use, so you know what your reputation score is wherever you go in the world, you're going to run into situations like this.
Despite insisting that she does not work on cases against MSG or even practice in New York, Conlon was still denied entry and forced to wait outside during the show. I was just a mom taking my daughter to see a Christmas show, Conlon told NBC New York. It was embarrassing. It was mortifying. Conlon's law firm is challenging the policy, claiming that it violates MSG's liquor license. So their only retort against this, of course, is to enforce a state licensure.
Good thing the state has all those laws to enforce against anybody for whatever reason they choose.
The liquor license, which requires them to admit members of the public unless there are people who would be disruptive, who constitute a security threat, according to one member of Conlon's firm. However, the most troubling part of the story isn't why Conlon was turned away, but how. Facial recognition devices are becoming increasingly common in public spaces and private businesses. However, these devices, while often touted as a reasonable security measure, have dangerous implications for privacy rights. After all, Conlon could only be stopped because MSG Entertainment had access to a database with pictures of her and personal information tying her to her job. Adding to these privacy concerns, there's good reason to believe that facial recognition data collected by private businesses won't stay in corporate hands for long. Corporate face surveillance is dangerous because government agencies could one day demand access to all of the data amassed by companies in order to institute essentially a turnkey authoritarian surveillance regime, wrote Reason's Ron Bailey.
And something tells me that Madison Square Garden is not going to stick up for you when the government comes or the feds come.
What's going to happen is, some fed's going to show up, flash a badge. They're going to go, yes, sir, here's the data.
Because they don't care. They don't care about your privacy, clearly.
This is another one of those areas where it seems a little bit overblown because the government already has most people's faces because you get a government ID. You get a state ID,
mm-hmm.
You get a driver's license, right? You've already given them that information, so they're just going to collect, corroborating information from private companies' databases?
I mean, that's exactly what's happened here.
Okay. Right?
You know, they've taken, they basically scanned the internet for this face.
Sure.
Came up with a bunch of matches, she works for this company, right? She's banned.
On the back of convenience stores, it used to have the board, pass this bad checks.
Right,
And your face was plastered over there, and the clerk would have to turn around and look. See, is this the guy on the board?
Or a copy of your
or whatever it is.
The bad check.
Sure.
With your name on it. So if you try to write one again, you're like, no.
So this is a practice that has been done, since the dawn of the ability to do this, and technology has improved the efficiency
but now we're talking about identifying somebody by their face
rather
than by their transaction.
Well, if you get security footage of the dude's face, he passed the bad check, and there's his face right there. If you see this guy, don't serve
him. Previously, you wouldn't associate that particular person with anything unless they've first passed a bad check and then, been put on that list.
Right.
Right? So the guy could still come and go into the store, for example. Right, if it was a grocery store that he passed a bad check in.
Well, unless you see his face.
And only if you recognize him.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're a clerk who wasn't on duty the day he passed the check, you wouldn't know who he was.
You wouldn't know.
He could come in and still spend cash.
Sure.
And it not be a problem. But as soon as he went to write a check, then you'd compare it to the wall of checks and be like, oh, no, sorry, Bob, whatever the guy is.
But still, same idea in practice and in concept, just more efficient with technology.
Facial recognition data in government hands, as Bailey wrote, could lead to a staggering invasion of individuals' most basic privacy rights, leading to pervasive real-time video tracking of citizens as they visit their doctors, attend religious services, engage in private sexual activity, and participate in political meetings, gatherings, and protests. All true. While Conlon's unpleasant rejection from Radio City Music Hall seems strange, it is likely that the facial recognition systems that enabled it and the dangers they present to individual privacy aren't going away anytime soon.
So here's the other thing, right? When you go out in public, it is your responsibility for your own privacy, right? If you don't want to be seen, put on the hood, wear the mask, put on the sunglasses. Obscure your identity the best you can.
Free people do not need to go to those lengths to be free.
Well, and also, sometimes they don't allow you to.
It's not about freedom.
I've walked in many places where it's like, you got to take your sunglasses off, you got to take your hat off, so you don't even really have that option.
You're on their property at that point. They set the rules.
Well, I'm just saying, that's usually not even an option. to, you know, like, protect your identity by going through these measures.
Yeah, but it's still your responsibility. So if privacy is more important than shopping at whatever store you're going to, right?
The ability to be private to me is, I wouldn't say equivalent, but insanely important from a person who loves freedom and loves to be free. I need to be free to have my privacy. I need to be able to turn it on and turn it off when necessary. So if there's somebody...
But not out in public?
If they're... That's, specifically in public.
No, that's the opposite. Private, public. Privacy, publicity. Private. They don't go hand in hand. They're opposites.
You have a degree of an... You should have a degree of anonymity while in public.
And that is your responsibility to maintain.
Maybe.
Who else's? Whose responsibility is it to maintain the anonymity of the captain when he's walking down Main Street?
Well, I can tell you that this next article from the Free Thought Project has an innocent man thrown in jail after facial recognition tech gets it wrong again. So multiple instances of facial recognition getting it wrong. Facial recognition and other sources of artificial intelligence technology can be biased, make errors, and is privacy invasive. Nevertheless, it's still being used by American police departments, sometimes with disastrous results. They have links to several of their other stories. I won't bore you with that stuff. From Common Dreams, false match that led to arrest highlights danger of facial recognition. Law enforcement must drop this dangerous technology. We shouldn't have to worry about being falsely arrested because an algorithm gets it wrong, said the ACLU after a Georgia man was misidentified as a purse thief.
Yep.
Instead of, this was written by Jessica Corbett. Instead of enjoying the late Thanksgiving meal with his mother in Georgia, Randall Reed spent nearly a week in jail in November after he was falsely identified as a luxury purse thief by Louisiana authorities using facial recognition technology. That's according to Monday reporting by NOLA.com, which caught the attention of Fight for the Future, a digital rights group that has long advocated against law enforcement and private entities using such technology, partly because of its shortcomings and the risk of outcomes like this.
So, I forget what state it is, and I don't know how many states there are, but somewhere out there...
50 states.
Understood. But where this particular act is allowed, right, and that is to actively resist an unlawful arrest, right? You don't need to worry about, you know, the algorithm getting it wrong if you go like, well, I am certain I stole no purse, and you defend yourself against that arrest.
Well, and they're going to say that's cute, and they're going to cuff you and put you in jail.
Yeah, or shoot you.
Or shoot you.
Okay. So take your chances, right? You can shoot first. That's allowed if you're being unlawfully arrested.
Absolutely. Like, self-defense is allowed.
Yeah.
However,
so more of that.
However, most people are going to choose to live than die over, you know, something like this.
But is it, though, is self-defense really allowed in this case?
Self-defense is always allowed.
So if you're being wrongfully arrested, and you're like, I am not this person, I am innocent, and you draw on the police officer,
that is self-defense.
Even if they don't end up killing you after that.
Let's just say they do. Let's say they misidentify you, right? And they say you're a purse thief, and you go, nope, I'm not a purse thief. And they draw their guns, and you decide to defend yourself. Right, and let's say they kill you, right, and then later on they go,
then I'm dead,
and then you're dead, and then later on they find the actual purse thief, and they go, oh crap, we were in the wrong. You were in the right for defending yourself against a false arrest.
I would say morally, but I still think
advocating for pulling your gun on cops, of course.
No, of course, but I just don't think that would play out very well in court. I think that person would be like, oh, you're aggressing an officer, whatever charges they want to come up with.
Well, that's why if it's in places where it's allowed, right, you can use that defense in court, right? And then if they were in the wrong, right, like they should not have been arresting you or accosting you.
And there are states who have recently said that, hey, you can defend yourself just fine against false arrest.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, so there are precedents.
Check your statute.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to play out how it's going to play out.
Yeah.
But if you're concerned,
Tennessee, I can't remember the state like most recently that I heard.
Okay.
I can't remember it, but
either way, right? More of that, right? People, innocent people defending themselves against false arrest will likely lead to less false arrests in the long run. Because you got to make sure you're getting it right,
right.
Yeah.
Before you draw and try to cuff an innocent person.
Right. Yeah, most people are, they take the opposite of that. They're like, oh, well, we'll fight it out in court and we'll figure it out. And, like, oftentimes it doesn't go your way.
Yeah, no.
Which you're more than welcome to do, but welcome to justice in America.
Right.
Yeah, let's, you know, settle this right now.
The article continues. So much wrong here, Fight for the Future said Tuesday, sharing the story on Twitter. The group highlighted that many cops can use facial recognition systems without publicly disclosing it, and anyone's life can be upended because of a machine's mistake. And then they have a little bit of a Twitter here. This is the same thing, and they say, cops are using facial recognition without disclosing the fact that they're using it. Police can scan your face using your driver's license, photo, pics on social media, and more. You can be arrested. Your life can be upended because of a machine's mistake.
So more accountability then for the algorithms and the police or whomever, right? Because if you're not going to defend yourself against a false arrest and you're going to say, like, well, let's settle this later, right, then you should be compensated for your time and whatever else you lost along with it.
Yeah. Right. So, like, anybody besides police, right? If there's, you know, a couple of dudes who come up to you and they're armed and they're like, hey, we're going to kidnap you. Are you going to just be like, sure, I'll go with you and I'll figure it out later?
We'll settle this out later.
Or are you going to defend yourself?
No, I'm going to defend myself.
Right? So then the picture changes when police are in it.
It's a pretty uniform and a shiny badge. It's pretty uniform,
it's a pretty
and,
uniform
badge.
And a shiny badge. That's what most people think it's different. It's,
you know,
just people.
Do you know why it's different, though? Because it's easier to defend yourself later on in court against two random people versus someone that is a police officer or federal agent, whatever,
right.
State government bureaucrat.
Because of the shiny badge and the uniform.
Because of the state.
Right. Yes.
That backs the shiny badge of the pretty uniform.
Yeah.
603-283-6160. What are your thoughts on facial recognition and police using it to identify people, even though they're not officially allowed to use these systems? Give us a call. Let us know. More Free Talk Live is next.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.